Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yo, Winning Shot family, what's going on? I know it's been a minute. It's been a long time. However, we still here. We still locked in with y'all. We appreciate y'all tapping into another episode of the Winning Shot podcast with John, Colin, and Hundo. We appreciate y'all time. Happy holidays, everybody that is watching. It is December the 23rd, and we are live and direct, getting ready to tap into the end of this NFL season. It's a lot to catch up on. A lot has happened. I don't even know the last thing we talked about on the podcast, but we're going to try to do a little segue up until the end of the season. That's where we at right now. Fellas, before we tap into all of that, how y'all doing this holiday season? Any holiday plans? Is it snowing up in Detroit? Is it cold in Columbia? What's the word, fellas? How y'all doing?
Nah, it actually is kind of cold today, bro. I stepped outside to move my truck, bro. Yeah, it was kind of cold, bro. But doing good, man. I'm going to be here with the family for the holidays. Just trying to finish 2025 strong, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's definitely cold up here, bro. Snow is kind of fading away. But as you can see, I still had to clear snow up here. I touched that door, and I need some of those, like, draft stoppers. Cause that door is so cold. I was like, yeah. This is not it. But, yeah, excited for this episode, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know it's been cold outside for real, which I'm not mad at because earlier in a couple weeks ago, it was like cold in the morning, hot in the afternoon. And I hate that time of year. I'd be like, bro, pick a season, please. So I'm excited, not that it's cold, but that it's staying a consistent temperature so that I can be consistent in my lifestyle as well. Because I don't have to worry about having on a jacket in the morning and taking off and wearing a doggone t-shirt in the afternoon. Anyways, the season's been like that too, in a way, because teams have started off one way to start the season and then look completely different right now in December. And so as we have talked about, man, we had teams that started off red hot. We had the Indianapolis Colts start off super hot this year. We had who else start off really hot this year? The Panthers start off pretty decent this year as well, and they still kind of shaky right now. And then we got to this point, and it's like, whoa, what happened? Some of these teams, like, fell off the face of the earth. And so we got to tap in and talk about it, brothers, because it's really, for me, I was expecting the Colts to be a playoff team right now. I ain't gonna lie. At the beginning of the season, I told Colin, I said, whoa, brother, the Colts being good? Ha, ha, ha. Imagine that. Then they started off, what, like 7-0? 8-0? Something crazy like that? And now we look at them, and I know injuries have played a factor. You know, Daniel Jones has gotten hurt. But they've gone downhill. The Texans start off pretty sorry, and now they almost back. The Jaguars start pretty sorry, and they have an opportunity to be the number one seed in the entire AFC, depending how things shake out these next 2 weeks. So let's get into it. Let's start with the AFC South. Let's start with the Colts. Colin, I know you got some deep thoughts that you want to get into, and we'll go from there. Talk to me, brother. What's the state of the AFC South right now? And let's start with your Indianapolis Colts.
Bro, just one word, man. Depressing. Very depressing, man. I have talked so much trash, so much trash this entire season, and now I'm having to eat it, receiving text messages daily after every loss. Damn. And it hurts because we know that Phillip Rivers is 44 and not capable of moving around in the pocket, but we still have to endure.
My goodness.
and the crazy thing is, bro, The Texans were so sorry at the beginning of the season, and now they're ahead of us, and the Jags about to win the division. So it's just like, not only are we sorry this season once again, but it's like for the future outlook, what are we going to look like next year and the year after that? We traded our first round picks, and now we're stuck. And I'm honestly depressed. I thought that we could leave the kids table and enter the playoff contenders table, but now I'm sitting back in the couch looking at everybody win and be happy. And once again, I have to stick with the hurt Daniel Jones, AR that broke his orbital bone. Don't even know what that is. And I'm stuck. So, you know, I thought this was the year that we could finally exit out of the sorry conversation. But once again, whoop-de-doo, we're back here. So, yeah, that's how I feel. Depressed.
Okay, I got follow-up questions. Okay, so you mentioned y'all not having first-round picks next year. So, earlier this season, I do remember saying on the podcast that the Indianapolis Colts were going to re-sign Daniel Jones to a long-term contract. One, do you agree with that? Because as you see now, I've had to go out and sign a 45-year-old Phillip Rivers who is now using y'all for NFL benefits, essentially, right? Two, with no first-round picks, how much cap space do y'all have going into the next season? And, like, is it enough to, like, sign, you know, free agent pieces? And then lastly, like you said, you know, with that hot start into where y'all are now, what's the outlook going into next season? Like, how do you mend this? Or does it get better with, you know, when people come back from injury?
Some good questions, bro. Frankly, in terms of the cap space, like, we have the money. We just got to move it around a little bit. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, we're taking on a bit of more with that Sauce Gardner contract. But, you know, we got to shore up some contracts on the offensive line. Defensive line, we're good. Zaire is going to want an extension at linebacker, so we're probably going to be paying him. The problem is, you know, we had a decent offensive line this year protecting Daniel. And, you know, offensive line fluctuates year to year. So we got to hope that we can bring the same guys with the same caliber next year. Because, I mean, even if we bring a bridge quarterback, if we don't have the O-line, it's gonna be Christmas. In terms of the Daniel Jones question, I do think that the players love him. Like, you know, the locker room loves him. But I think with the Achilles, it kind of – if he does get a contract, it won't be, you know, breaking the bank. It'll be, you know, a decent quarterback, you know, probably like mid-tier contract until we can find the guy. But – we're just going to have to go through those later rounds because the problem with us is, like, for the past, 6 years, we've been kind of up and down with quarterbacks, trying to find bridge quarterbacks until we can find the guy. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, with all these guys, and I know we'll talk about later with college football, hopefully we can find, you know, something for next year where we can probably trade back into the draft and find a quarterback, you know, if some of these guys pop in college football. But I don't want to get back into the whole – oh, 2 year, 3 year bridge conversation because we just not never gonna win that way.
That's real. I feel that, bro. I feel that for sure. I'm really intrigued to see what y'all do this Daniel Jones thing. Like, I think that's gonna be like the catalyst is like for y'all entire offseason. Because obviously, as you know, the quarterback is the biggest piece. And so it's like, okay, do we stick with him? You know, are people intrigued to come to Indy now? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I think y'all got some good pieces at receiver. Obviously, you got JT out there, who was in the MVP conversation in the early part of the season. You know, I don't know how Quentin is now, but, I mean, does he stay around a little bit longer to, you know, stay with Indianapolis? And like you said, with O-lines fluctuating year to year, you know, you got to continue to draft pieces or bring in pieces that can be, you know, solidified there. And y'all division, man, is not getting no easier. I thought the Texans have regressed, but they have come back in a crazy way. They're 10-5 right now. That defense is crazy. They got one of the craziest defenses in the league. And then, once again, the Jaguars. I thought they had regressed. But Trevor Lawrence, resurgence of his career. I mean, can we talk about that, too, as well? Like, this Trevor is not the Trevor we talked about coming into the season. People had written Trevor off. They said he was a bust. They talked about him, you know, wasting time in Jacksonville, you know, the Jaguars being blah, 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 blah. They were 11-4. And once again, like I said, they have an opportunity to be the number one seed in the entire AFC, which is crazy, depending on what happens with that Broncos game they play. And so I think that kind of leads me to a segue going into the AFC West with Denver Hundo, man. You know, 12-3 right now, top of the AFC. How do you feel as a Broncos fan and, you know, looking into this playoff outlook? Bo Nix has had a, you know, pretty solid season. The defense was playing out of control a lot this year. Is there confidence that this can be a year that he's not one and done in the playoffs like he was last year in Bo Nix? Is there confidence that y'all can at least make, like, is there a conference championship if y'all have home field advantage? Is that a thing for y'all? And then, like I said, going forward, you know, Drake May and Bo Nix, and that will be compared forever as the two guys, right, in the AFC as the you know, young guys. So do you think he has what it takes to compete with a Drake May if that game is to happen? And as we push forward.
Yeah, I think everybody in the AFC is beatable. Like I said in previous episodes, for us and Bo Nix and the offense, it's a drive-by-drive thing. Game-by-game thing. Like I said, you don't know what you're going to get from him. The man misses throws consistently. And he missed some throws against the Jaguars, threw two late interceptions.
Yeah.
Defense, like you said, had Trevor Lawrence looking like Clemson Trevor Lawrence. He was out there cooking. Riley Moss was missing tackles. Jaquan McMillan was getting cooked.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I definitely think having home field advantage is a plus for us. Any team that's coming into Denver is going to be tough. But like I said, defense, top five, top 10 defense. But offense got to show up. Offense got to show up. So we'll see. But I definitely didn't expect us to be 12-3 right now. Yeah. I know Colin had asked us in the group, you know, preseason predictions for win-loss predictions. I think I said like eight to 10 wins, something like that. And the fact that we're at 12 is good right now. So we'll see what happens these last 2 weeks of the regular season.
Yeah. No, that's real, brother. I didn't see y'all being 12-3. Not even gonna lie to you. The division I thought was gonna be super tough for y'all to play in, especially with the Chargers as well as the Chiefs in there. And as we've seen with the Chiefs, now they're out of playoff contention for the first time in what I think said what 10 years, a decade. And so, you know, the division's up for grabs right now between y'all and I don't know if the Chargers have opportunities to win the division.
Yeah,
but
if y'all lose, yeah.
Well, like I said, they do play all week 18. So week 18 is going to be really big. Yeah. But yeah, brother, I think it's going to be really interesting just to see this new AFC look in the playoffs. Because looking over these standings right now for the playoffs, the current one seed is the Broncos, two seed is New England, three seed is Jacksonville, four seed is currently Pittsburgh, five seed locked in with the Chargers, six seed Buffalo, seven seed currently Houston. With Baltimore and Indy on the outside looking in currently. So this AFC playoff picture is, like you said, I think all of these teams are super beatable, honestly. So it's going to be really game by game. Who's going to show up that day? Who's going to really be a dog for that day? So it's going to be really, really interesting as we push forward into this playoff picture.
And adding to that, like when you look at the playoff position, you know, if everything – stays how it is. The Chargers and the Bills might be the scariest teams to play right now.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about quarterback play and postseason, like I just said, everybody's beatable in the AFC, but shoot, if I got a matchup against really any of them wild card teams, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be scary. For sure.
Like you said, Houston got a top five defense.
Mm-hmm.
If CJ Stroud comes to play, and can spread that ball around, they're going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
James Cook, they're going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
And the Chargers have been looking good right now. I can't lie. I'm a Broncos fan, but the Chargers have been looking good right now.
Yeah. I'm saying it's going to be super interesting, bro, because like I said, these quarterbacks actually have been playing good. Like, nobody's been, like, super sorry in these playoff quarterbacks at least. And that's one thing I look at coming into the playoffs is, like, who's been consistent. And all of them have been consistent. Honestly, all these top seven have been pretty consistent. So it's going to be a dog playoff for sure. For sure. While I'm here, I guess I might as well talk about the Ravens a little bit here while we're here before we slide to the NFC. So it's been a disappointing, to Colin's point, it's been a very disappointing and somewhat say even depressing season as a Ravens fan for a plethora of reasons. You know, coming into the season, there's a lot of hype of us being Super Bowl contenders. You know, Lamar Jackson, you know, slated for another MVP season. And for the first couple games, he was cooking. Start the season 10-1, you know, leading the league in at that time with passing touchdowns to interception ratio. Really looking like an MVP candidate. Even though he had lost that first game to the Bills, he was looking pretty solid. Went down with an injury against the Chiefs. And the season at that point started to become a dud. in the sense of we couldn't, obviously we had no quarterback. We decided to put in Cooper Rush, who I never was a fan of the signing, to be honest with you, as a fan. I think he just doesn't fit our system. He's not a mobile quarterback. I'm going to leave it there. He's not a mobile quarterback, and he just didn't fit the way that we play on offense. I thought a lot of times, even with him in the game, we just didn't do enough to run the ball. I never really believed him as a passer. And so when Lamar was out, it was like, boy, we're going through it. And on top of that, the defense was also trash at that time. And so it was like, we're literally in a lose-lose situation. We couldn't stop anybody. We also couldn't get anything together. Zachary Orr finally got things together against that Rams game. That was really the turnaround game for us in regards to defensive-wise. We held the Rams, I think, to 17 that game, if I want to say. But we just couldn't get anything going on the offensive side of the ball either. So we were really in a lose-lose. And then we finally came to our senses, put in Tyler Huntley against the Bears, wound up beating them that game. And I was like, okay, we got a little bit of hope because right before Lamar comes back. So Lamar does come back. We go on a 5-game streak. And I'm like, okay, we're back. You know what I'm saying? We got things looking good. We get to Thanksgiving against the Bengals. And all hell breaks loose. Joe Burrow comes back in that first game, and the defense turns back into that first couple weeks defense, and we're looking terrible. I'm like, wow, this is not who we we're supposed to be. Go against the Browns. I say that next week, and that was a hurricane game. We beat them with that fourth and one quarterback sneak, or really tight end sneak with Mark Andrews. I'm like, okay, not mad at this. Then played the Steelers, lost again to the Steelers. And at home, I'm like, okay, well, this is it. So like I said, we get to this point. We lose this past weekend. We fast forward to this past week, lost Sunday night to the Patriots. And so now our playoff hopes are not in our hands. Lamar Jackson is now injured again. We got 2 games left, once against the Packers Saturday night and once against the Steelers in January. We're going into this game in Lambeau with more likely Lamar is not going to play. And so the only saving grace for us currently is that the Packers also do not have a quarterback. They don't have two quarterbacks currently. So, that's the only saving grace at this current time. We're currently, like I said, 7-8. We got to win these next two to even have a shot. But we also have to have the Steelers lose one game. So, we're not in a position to not control our own destiny, which I hate. Because you rely on other teams to get things done for you when you should have got it done yourself. Not a good look. And so we're at a state of, I don't know what's going to happen going forward, right? Do we sit Lamar, for the rest of the season? If we lose Saturday, he's definitely not going to play out against the Steelers. But if we win Saturday and the Steelers lose, he's going to try his best to play Week 18 because that's the opportunity to go to the playoffs there. It's the win-or-go-home game. So it all hinges on Saturday for us. And what happens this weekend. So, yeah, the state of the Ravens, man, it's up in the air right now. It's really up in the air. And I just talked to you before we got on the podcast about the fact that, this could be John Harbaugh's swan song. He could be up out of here with the losing season this year. And it's crazy to say he's been there. I think him and Mike Tomlin are the two most tenured coaches in the NFL currently. And so he could be up out of there. He could be. We have not performed to a winnable standard in the past couple weeks. So that's where we are right now in Baltimore. And like you said, with the AFC being as beatable as it is right now, is disheartening. I was really, really hoping, and I'm still hoping, obviously, because we still have a small opportunity, but it's there. Opportunity. If we get to the playoffs, it's going to be crazy because, like you said, I'm not scared of none of these teams in the playoffs, honestly. In the AFC, at least. None of them teams I'm fearful of. That of, like, us getting blown out, to Hundo's point earlier. Like, no one's, like, a world beater in the AFC. Mm-hmm. So, can teams have a hot game? Of course. But in the playoffs, we're going to see. So, yeah.
I feel bad for y'all boys, man. But it's always next year. Y'all boys were so, especially Colin. Colin was so excited about the season. So high on his high horse. Literally, Colts fan on his high horse. Now look at him. Depressing. These are the words he's using. Depressing. Man. Boy. Hey, you have faith too, boy. You have faith. I'm going to go back and clip them previous episodes where you was talking crazy about what y'all was gonna do to the Texans and Jaguars. Now look at y'all.
Now look at y'all.
Yeah, yeah. It's all good. We all gonna be on the same couch in a couple months. Well, about a couple weeks actually, so we're good.
Oh yeah. Listen, I just told my cousins are Panthers fans. I'm about to switch to the NFC in a second. But boy, the Ravens will make the playoffs. I'm about to be the world's biggest hater to everybody. Everybody. What?
Hey, yo.
What?
Hey, yo.
What? I'm usually not a hater, and I try not to lead out of hate. But people have been driving the hate out of me this year. And so because of that, if we're in the playoffs, I guarantee it right here on the Stamp It on the Winning Shot podcast, I will be a hater. If your team is in the playoffs, I'll be wishing them the worst in every way. Outside of injury, I don't wish injury on nobody, but I will be wishing L's on your team for sure. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So, with that being said, fellas, let's switch over to the NFC because we got some things to go over with that conference as well. The playoff standings for the NFC are as followed as soon as my app does load. I do know that currently, I know that the Seahawks are in. I know that the Bears are in. I know that the Eagles are in. I know that the
Rams and 49ers.
Rams and 49ers. And that's then currently the spaces open are for Green Bay, Detroit, the Panthers, and the Bucks. Are the only other four teams with the opportunity to be in it. The Panthers, let's start there because they're a team that surprised me this year. I'm not going to lie to you. I think that the Panthers usually are dog water, and they have been for the past decade. But this year, they've been even. Honestly, I mean, they ain't been like good, but they've been like even. They've been, you know, decent. And they had an opportunity to win their division. They had a game against the Seattle Seahawks this weekend. And they play the Buccaneers next week for the opportunity to win their division. So let me ask you this. Do y'all think that that's going to happen? And two, if they make the playoffs as the four seed, what are the opportunities? What can they do in the playoffs?
I think it's good that they're in this position that they're in to control their own destiny and potentially win a division like we talked about before in previous episodes. Like, I don't think any of us expected the Panthers to be in this position right now. So the fact that they're even in this position is good. Like, yeah, like I said, they control their own destiny. They knocked off the Rams earlier this season at home. Maybe they can do it again against the Seahawks. At home, anything can happen. If they can win that game, I like their chances because they just beat the Buccaneers and they close out the season against the Buccaneers. So literally all they have to do is continue to win. They win these last two games they're in. So I think that's good. As far as the playoffs, I don't think they're going to do anything. I'm still not a believer in them in that sense. Yeah. But we'll see. It'll definitely come down to matchups. But like I said, if they can knock off the Seahawks, that gives them, you know, hope and inspiration going into the playoffs that they can beat any of these teams.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're just kind of in the infancy stages of, like, building that organization back up. The question is, like, with this success, like, do you keep Bryce on that fifth-year option? Do you sign him to a long-term deal? And I think Bryce, you know, he showed some glimpses. But the question is, like, you know, you can – and I'm not making the direct comparison, but you can follow – you can kind of follow the same track as, like, a Daniel Jones where, like, oh, he hits a couple games and then you sign him to a long contract. Now you're kind of stuck because, like, the Panthers did have to bench him, you know, in his career. So the question is, out of this sample size – is Bryce the answer, or is do they still need to move, make a move to get, you know, past the hump of being okay and mediocre?
I think he's shown enough this year to get that stamp of approval moving forward, especially being, you know, a high round draft pick. Mm-hmm. I can see if he was like, you know, second or third round pick, and now he's just putting together, you know, a few good games. But mm-hmm. I feel like the fact that they drafted him so high, You gotta keep moving forward with him, especially if they can make the playoffs. And if they miss the playoffs, we got a conversation. But if they can win this division and get into the playoffs this year, it's a good step, like you said, in the right direction of building back up this franchise.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. I agree with y'all. You know, definitely didn't see them being in this position. I actually made a bet with my cousins that they were not going to be in this position. You know, they bet me that they were going to win the division. And I said, there's no way in heck they win this division. But after they beat the Bucks last week, I'm like,
it's that getting, boy, it's that getting boy down over there sweating.
Hey, I ain't lying. I'm hating on the Panthers heavy because I ain't trying to pay this money. I ain't trying to pay this bread. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna hold you. So it's less about the Panthers being a team and more about my money. So I'll be praying that they lose against the Seattle Seahawks and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the next couple weeks. So yeah, I don't know. I think my brother-in-law was telling me last week, you know, they've been winning one, losing one. So in his theory, this is the way that they lose, and then they win against the Bucks next week to win the division. In his theory, I am praying for two consistent L's to end this season for them to go 8-9 to end out, which would keep them out of playoffs and send them back to the crib and win me some money. So, you know, am I mad if they go? Yes, because I lose money. But
yes.
also in the same breath, Carolina ain't been good in a decade. So, you know, it's good for them. It's good for the city. If they make it in to a playoff game, and it'll be a home playoff game for them, you know, to play. Looks like they'll be playing the 49ers, who blew them out earlier this season. And, you know, for them to get the opportunity to play them again at home would be very interesting. So things may line up, bro. Things may line up for them going forward. So we'll see. Like I said, like they said, they beat the Rams earlier this year. So Seattle coming to Charlotte, or it's in their favor, bro. So we'll see what happens this upcoming weekend and the weekend to follow with that team. So, but let's talk about this, though. Let's get off of them and get out of the NFC South. Let's come back up and talk about the Chicago Bears, who, in my personal opinion, coming to the season, didn't see them being good. Once again, Caleb. Caleb Williams, first overall pick, had a lot of weapons last year, didn't do anything with them. And so this year, he's same weapons. I think they added maybe a weapon or two. And I'm like, don't really trust Caleb. But they kind of turned things around in Chicago. They're now the 2 seed in the NFC, fellas. Talk to me about the state of the Bears. You know, what can be done with them in the playoffs? You know, right now they don't have a current opponent for the 7th seed as of right now, but it looks like it could be the Packers or the Lions. You know, how do they fare against either one of those teams in that first game in Chicago? And do they have an opportunity to do anything in the NFC side of the playoff bracket?
Yeah, I think looking at the Bears, like you said, I didn't expect them to be winning that division.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe they were going to be better, but, like, the fact that they're winning the NFC North,
yeah,
probably will win the NFC North, that's pretty good. Shout out to Ben Johnson, man. He definitely came in and turned it around.
Thanks.
Got Caleb Williams playing pretty good football. We're going to see what they do these last two regular season games. Definitely going to. Got a big test against the 49ers, and then they close out the season against the Lions. So we'll see if they can close out the season and finish strong on a good note. And then it's going to come down to seeding and positioning come playoffs.
Yeah.
And see what's going to happen because, shoot, that NFC West is going to be tough.
That's a fact.
Yeah, it's just amazing to see how good quarterback play can really transform a division because last year we were talking about the Lions and the Vikings arguing for the number one seed. And, you know, being up here, everybody was talking about how wide the Lions Super Bowl window is. But, like, now that, you know, the Bears have hit, it really changes everything because, you know, you got Bears, Packers, and then we'll see what the Vikings do next year. But I think for the Lions and Lions fans up here, it's like, man, your Super Bowl window is really closing, like, quickly. And, you know, I think losing Ben Johnson, we can see it not only with what Chicago's doing, but even just kind of how the offense and what Detroit has regressed. So I think it was a good move for Chicago, and it's exciting to see, like, when I was watching the game Saturday, like, I think in, like, the NBA when we talk about, like, oh, the Knicks being good, like, it's good for basketball. Like, you know, seeing the Bears being good, it was like, okay, I've never seen this in a while, like, ever since the Mitch Trubisky years. And so seeing Chicago being lit in a place that people want to come, you know, play for and, you know, a hard place to play in, you know, that kind of was kind of inspiring as an NFL fan for me.
Yeah. That's true, brother. That's true. Like I said, I think that this is a total 180 for Caleb. Like I said, people were really writing Caleb off already. it was like, yeah, you know, whatever. But to see like the way they turn everything around in a year, man, it's cool to see for them, honestly. And even in looking at Seattle, who, you know, Sam Darnold came in there and people like, can Sam Darnold lead another team? You know, yeah. Like, is he good enough? And he's done it again, you know, led them to the one seed. So the NFC playoff is going to be very interesting. Let me ask you a quick question while we got this here. Philly, 10-5, you know, Super Bowl champions currently, the 3 seed currently in the NFC. What is their playoff look like? You know, y'all think that there's an opportunity for them to go back-to-back Super Bowls? Then in regards to going to the Super Bowl, like, do y'all think that the, you know, the Bears or the Seahawks can knock them off? Do y'all think that somebody else can catch them lacking? Like, are they dominant enough to get to where they were last year in the NFC?
I'll go ahead. No, I was just going to say, bro, I think it really falls on Jalen Hurts. Like, you know, not just as a quarterback, but also as a leader, because we know the whole implosion they've been having in the season with AJ and whatnot. But, like, I think a lot of it comes down to his quarterback play towards the end of the season. Like, he's paid big money, and so now he has to, you know, operate like an elite quarterback. Because I think sometimes, like, you know, we even talk about the top quarterbacks, and a lot of it is him being, you know, managing the talent around him. But I think now, because, you know, the defense is not as dominant as it was last year, like, he's going to have to put the team on his back, and, you know, they're going to have to win offensively. Now, they have the weapons, but it's just really about putting it together, and it really is going to fall on Jalen.
I think from a dominant standpoint, I don't think they're as dominant as last year, but similar to the AFC, like we talked about earlier, like, I feel like it's wide open in the NFC. Like, anybody's beatable. Like, any of those top teams or wild card teams are beatable. I think it's going to come down to seeding. And we know that Jalen Hurts finds a way to win. When it matters the most, he finds a way to win. It might not look the prettiest or, you know, the biggest numbers, but he finds a way to win. So that's one thing we've never questioned about Jalen Hurts, is his ability to win, especially in big moments. So, like I said, it's wide open, man. It's going to come down to matchups, and I think anybody's beatable.
Okay. Let's do this then. Here we go. Super Bowl predictions, fellas, right now. I know we still have 2 weeks left in this season, but as things currently stand, who would y'all think today can go to Super Bowl from the NFC and the AFC? You don't have to give me a winner, but just give me at least a prediction who gets to the game.
For me, I really like the Patriots as an organization, but I just don't think they have enough to make a deep run in the playoffs. So I put in the group yesterday, I think it's going to be the Bills and the Rams. I think Josh Allen's just going to be the difference, and he's going to carry them to the Super Bowl. And I just think, like, we were watching the Seahawks-Rams game the other day, but I think the Rams have revenge on the Seahawks in the playoff, and, you know, they advance. And so I don't – in terms of the winner, like, I know you didn't ask, but, like, I think the Rams can pull it off again. I think Matt Stafford goes out with another Super Bowl and goes out that way.
I don't even know who I said in the group. I was actually just scrolling up in the group to see who I said. I don't even think I said nobody, because I think I was the one who asked the question. But I don't know, man. It's wide open. Like I said, bro, everybody's beatable, bro. Y'all know I don't trust Bo Nix. I don't trust Drake May. Like I said earlier, the Chargers and the Bills are probably the scariest teams to play right now in the AFC. Not gonna lie to you. I don't know, bro. I think it's between one of those two teams. But as you all know, they got to go on the road, unless the Chargers win the division, of course. But we'll see. I think it's between those two teams in the AFC. I'll throw in Denver as well, just for the vibes. But NFC, like I said, once again, everybody's beatable. I like the Rams as a team. But somehow they just keep losing games. Like, every time that I watch them play, they lose to the Panthers, lose to the Seahawks when they had the lead. It's just like, bro, like, y'all got to be able to finish. I think when you look at, you know, championship caliber teams, they find a way to win. That's why I never count out the Eagles, because Jalen Hurts finds a way to win. So I'm going to go Eagles, and I'm going to go – I'll say the Bills. Bills and Eagles, Super Bowl right now.
Okay. For me, I'm gonna go Rams as well. I think it's for me between the Rams and the Seahawks. I think Philly's had their time. I think we're gonna have a new face to the Super Bowl this year. So I'm gonna go Rams and AFC, bro. It gets kind of dicey for me as well. Like you said, I think that the current best teams in the AFC playoff picture are gonna be the Bills, unfortunately. And I don't know how much I trust the Chargers in the playoffs, just because last playoffs last year, Herbert came in, threw a stinker up, four picks against the Texans. So I can easily honestly see that happening. Sorry, James. I can see that happening again. Like, he has like a stinker game. Like, you're just looking crazy. And I think that the, you know, it's good defenses in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? All around. And that also scares me for the Bills, because I'm like, offensively, they're cool, but
they probably got the weakest defense.
Yeah, they got the weakest defense. And that's not good. There's some good offenses out here too. Mm-hmm. AFC gets tough for me. I'ma say Bills. I don't trust nobody in the AFC, bro. I really don't. I really don't trust nobody in the AFC right now. If I had to pick somebody today, I know I just talk trash about them. I'm gonna go LA. I'm gonna go to Chargers, bro. I'm gonna go Chargers. I think they have the best balance in the AFC in regards of offensive, defensively, like talent wise. I think that everybody else is kind of like dominant on one side of the ball. The Texans are a close second for like balance, but I think when you come to playoffs, you gotta have both. I think you gotta have both. And I know people are like, oh, the Bills are right there, but I'm like, I don't see it.
You don't want to choose 1-7, Colin.
No, it's. But I'm telling you, I for balance purposes,
Yeah, I get. I'm with you.
Yeah, we done seen Josh throw five touchdowns and still lose the game. We done seen it happen. Yeah. So it's like,
hey, so question though, John, if both of our predictions come true, like, right? If we see a new face in terms of getting a Super Bowl this year, how does that change the top elite quarterback conversation?
I think it doesn't change it as much. I'm going to keep it a band with you. And I'll tell you why. I mean, Patrick's still going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Yes, he tore his ACL, but we're not going to just disrespect Patrick like he's not Patrick. Obviously, Josh Allen's still up there as the top quarterback in the league. And if you don't make it, though, we got to have a conversation about Josh, but that's a separate conversation because I think he's still a top five quarterback in the league. Lamar's still Lamar. I know people, once again, ragging on him too. But it depends on who wins. Because like you said, if Matt Stafford wins the Super Bowl and leaves the league and retires, he can't be a top quarterback in the league. You know what I'm saying? So it's like
– So if Justin Herbert makes it, is he in the conversation with Josh and Lamar?
I think he has to be because he has the Super Bowl appearance. But I'm not putting like Drake May up there. In top five quarterback, if he makes it, I'm not putting Bo Nix up there. If he makes it, I mean, it's just certain quarterbacks. It's for me, and this is just a me personal thing. And we can have this discussion real quick because
I wouldn't put either of them in the conversation either.
Yeah,
if we win it with Bo Nix, yeah, y'all gonna hear from me.
I know he will, but I'm not put even if y'all win it with Bo Nix.
Yeah, but you can be honest on that.
I'm glad he's being honest about it because I'm still not putting him in the top five quarterback in the league with a Super Bowl. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not doing that.
Nah, I'm with you.
Because I don't think it'll be because of him.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think when I think about like top elite quarterbacks, Colin, to your question, like guys who are gonna get it done regardless, and like it's that list is short. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't see Bo Nix on that list. Stroud, I don't know if he get on that list. Like,
question.
Yeah.
If the Eagles win it again, is Jalen Hurts like stamped, solidified top five quarterback? Because it was a debate. It's been a debate.
I would say
as a top five quarterback if they win it again.
I'd say yes, because he's going to have to be a part of the reason that they do it. I don't think they're going to be able to rely on Saquon like they did last year. So I would say if they do win it again, he'll be a big part of that. And so he has to be a top five quarterback. Me personally.
Yeah, I agree with John. So it's a question though, if the Chargers win, is it Josh, Justin, and then Lamar? Or I mean, or is it Justin, Josh, Lamar? Or what, how do we weigh the MVPs versus the Super Bowls now?
Super Bowl outweighs the MVP. So if so Justin wins it and Justin is a catalyst in it,
he will be.
Bro. He will have
that's
to
the
be.
Only way
he
will be.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Not,
so
if, they're if, not if, winning without him playing bad. And he's been playing hurt too.
This is true. That's what I'm saying. So if Justin goes in and wins the Super Bowl, me personally, I would have no problem putting him above Lamar and Josh. Because this will be another year that neither one of them have done it. And if Justin comes in and does it before both of them, we got to have a conversation, Colin. Me, you got to have a conversation.
So what happens if Josh wins it all?
I mean, he's the top quarterback in the league, Hundo.
Okay. All right.
But I don't think that happens.
So if Josh, so let's say, I don't know if this can happen, but if Josh and Justin meet in the AFC Championship, would, and let's say Josh wins, is Justin still in the conversation?
No. Like, then he'd be on the couch. And so okay. Then he's won nothing. Then he's won no AFC, no MVP. He just made the game. Okay. And according to y'all, the game don't making it to that game don't necessarily mean as much. You gotta make it to the Super Bowl. So it's like he can be top 10 still.
Hold on. Question. So this is the outlier, but I'm curious. What if San Francisco makes the Super Bowl again?
It's the Purdy.
Are you saying will it be because of Brock Purdy?
Yeah. I think so. They're injured on defense.
Yeah, they are.
He's been to the Super Bowl.
Players. Yeah.
He's been to another Super Bowl. Lamar and Josh have yet to get one.
Yeah. So San Fran wins Super Bowl with Brock this year.
San Fran versus the Bills in the Super Bowl.
We're gonna have to go pile on that one. I can't. He's gonna be a hateful.
Hey, John gonna be sick, boy. I had to throw out some elite hate for that game. some of my best hate, Hundo. Some of my best hate got to come out in that game if that's to happen. But that's like you said, bro. That's an outlier because.
Hey, 49ers done turned it around, bro.
Yeah, Hundo, but they ain't got no Fred Warner. CMC so there.
That makes it more compelling if they win.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. My mom won't even let them get there. I can't even let them get there. But if it happens where it's the 49ers versus the Bills and Brock Purdy wins it, we're gonna have a conversation with y'all. I gotta have a conversation with y'all. Cause why can't Josh Allen get the job done? I want to know. Hey, I want to know.
Hey, now watch if it happen now. And Josh Allen win, bro. He beat the 49ers.
No, I'm not gonna say that. Hundo, listen. This is the thing, Hundo. This is the thing. This is the NFL. This ain't college. This ain't like Alabama versus Alcorn State. This is the NFL. These grown men. Uh-huh. You made it to the Super Bowl. It's the two best teams in the respective conferences that made it. So if Josh Allen, I already said this, I'm stamping it again. If Josh Allen goes to Super Bowl, I don't care who the team is, and beats them, he gets my respect. If he loses again in this playoffs, y'all go hear from me. Because we need to have a conversation. This will be, mark my words, if the Ravens don't make the playoffs, this will be Josh Allen's easiest path to Super Bowl that he'll have for the rest of his career. Mark,
I don't know, bro. I'm not gonna say that because the defenses are tough.
Yeah,
bro, they got to go through arguably three top 10 defenses.
The defenses are always tough, Hunter, in the playoffs.
Bro, the Texans defense and the Broncos defense are top three.
The Broncos defense. Where was the Broncos defense last year, Hundo?
It was like top five, top 10.
And what did Josh Allen do?
Smack them boys.
Okay, so my point still remains that this is what happens. If he does not make it with this path and these teams, we're gonna have a conversation. And we're gonna about y'all man 1-7 because he becomes in this same boat that y'all keep putting Lamar in. He literally is there. Literally. And it's nothing else to be said about it. Then he can't get the job done.
At least he got a shot.
See what I'm saying? Hey, Colin.
At least he got a shot.
That's
about to be at home.
Hey, sometimes you gotta wait.
Yo. Hey, I'm so glad we record these narrative painting services of y'all too. Oh my god. At least he had a shot is crazy work. Because they would never let it get, they would never let me get away with this. Ever. Ever.
Hey, I'm just throwing it out there. That wouldn't happen. Hey, he had a chance.
Oh my god. He had a chance. Okay. Yeah.
You're getting the wall ready for the paint. I'm getting the wall ready for the paint right now.
That's crazy, bro. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have a conversation. I promise we're going to have a conversation. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. So,
yeah.
It's going to be good. But it starts this week. Week 17, week 18 are as big as they've ever been in the NFL.
Hey, what matchups are y'all looking forward to, man?
In the playoffs? Are you talking about?
No. This weekend right here.
Let me pull it up.
Because that Bears and 49ers game should be pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it up right now. That Chargers game, pretty good.
Means a lot. Yes, it does. All right. Week 17. Here we go.
With playoff implications.
Seahawks. That Lions and Vikings game on Thursday is going to mean a lot for the Lions.
They should beat the Vikings.
They should,
but and JJ McCarthy just got hurt.
Too. Who?
JJ McCarthy hurt his hand or wrist or something the other day.
Well, never mind. Okay, Saturday, like you said, the two Saturday games mean a lot. Texans and Chargers, the Ravens and the Packers, they both mean a lot. That Steelers and Browns game on Sunday means a lot.
Yeah.
Who y'all got in them Saturday games?
Baltimore and the Chargers.
You gonna go with the Chargers?
I'm gonna go Green Bay Chargers.
Yeah.
Give me the Texans. I need the Chargers to lose. Give me the Texans, man. this is pure hate.
That's a hate pick.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I need them to lose. Somebody needs
hey,
to
yo.
They've been beating everybody that I thought had a chance to beat. They do. So, Texans, please, please beat them, please. So we don't have to do it the next week. You know, we can rest our players or something.
Rest our players. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's gonna come down to who play at quarterback in that Ravens and Packers game.
Agreed.
And if the Packers can somehow stop the run, we'll see. But I would probably lean towards the Ravens. In this situation, especially if Jordan Love not playing.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I don't know how they stop. They can't really stop nothing right now in Green Bay, which is not good for them.
They got Xavier McKinney back there, man. He can make some plays, make something happen. Bro, he a top safety. Don't look like that, bro. Why are you looking like that? why are you looking like that, bro? I got Xavier McKinney back there, bro. He can do something. Yeah.
If he's the last line of defense against Derrick Henry,
hey, I was watching ESPN yesterday. They showed a clip of who did they play the other day? Well, he got stiff armed on the sideline, the Packers.
Oh,
Xavier McKinney got stiff armed on the sideline by one of them running backs. No, I forget who they played last week.
We played the Bears last week.
Yeah, buddy from Rutgers. The rookie, he's still on the sideline.
Tough.
That Derrick Henry stiff arm going to be even crazier.
Insane. In Lambeau. In front of your family. Yeah. So I think I said both those games Saturday, huge implications. Sunday, that Steelers Browns game. The Colts Jags game. The Panthers Seahawks. The Buccaneers Dolphins got huge implications. And then that Bills Eagles game on Sunday, also huge.
Yeah.
So 49ers Bears, like you mentioned. And then Rams talking on Monday. So week 17 is huge, bro. I'm telling you.
Giants and Raiders for the number one pick.
I mean, Yeah, so somebody's hoping to tank. So, yeah. Who's the top prospect coming out of college this year?
I mean, you got a lot of defensive players. I mean, Reuben Bain is coming out from Miami.
Yeah.
The question is going to be on Dante Moore, if he's going to come out.
That's true.
Then is you got obviously Mendoza
is
from
Miami. Rated that high? Dante Moore?
I mean, if he comes back, I think the Raiders will get him easily. As the second quarterback, because Mendoza's going first to the Jets, in my opinion. You got the right receiver from Ohio State. Not Jeremiah, but the other dude, Carnell Tate.
Oh, Carnell Tate, yeah.
I think who else? Ohio's the safety, Caleb Downs.
Oh, he's drafting eligible this year?
Yeah, and then Clemson's got Peter Woods, mm-hmm. Jeremiah Love.
Jeremiah
Love. I can think about right now.
Yeah. So let's quickly, let me do this. Quick shift over to college, fellas. I think the NFL, you know, we good. We get prepared towards the end of the season. College is also in the playoffs. And we saw the first round happen this past weekend. A lot of blowouts. So now the real playoffs begin. Because we had some sorry teams, in my personal opinion, in the playoffs once again this year. And I hate that. So the real playoffs now begin. So this second round of games, fellas, we're looking at pulling up now because I got to make sure I got the right teams here. CFP. All right. Oregon, Texas Tech, Alabama, Indiana, Ole Miss, Georgia. And then Ohio State plays Miami as well. What are y'all thoughts, man, on those games and, like, do y'all see any upsets, I guess, out of those potential games? Because as in that first round, I think the best game that we can probably all agree on was the Alabama and Oklahoma game.
That Miami game was pretty good, bro. It came down to the wire, at least.
To the wire. It was a defensive game, really defensive game. Yeah. It was good. But I think for me, back and forth wise, I would still go Bama OU because OU was up, what, 17-0?
They walked the ball back down in the second quarter, bro.
That's what I'm saying. So for me, I would give it to that game. At least the Miami game was good. Texas A&M, you know, defensive standouts, juggernaut game. Came down, was it what, 10-3 was the final score?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a lot of fireworks or nothing like that. Do y'all think that Miami, let's start there then, Hundo. You think Miami has opportunity against Ohio State?
No.
Well, yeah, I'm with Hundo. The only problem is, like, with the South Carolina game, we saw, like, Texas A&M was kind of flawed already.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think Ohio State is just a better overall roster, and they've been prepared. So, nah, I think it's going to be close, but I think Ohio State going to pull it out.
I agree. I think Ohio State kind of blows by this game kind of easy.
And one thing I will say, like, I don't know how it works for the second round,
mm-hmm.
but I do like the home games. For the higher ranked seeds, I do like that.
Yeah, that's just for that first round.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it needs to go to the second round too, because as the home seed, you really don't get an advantage except for rest, because it's essentially a bowl game. Because like right. Bama and Indiana are both playing in California, and I don't even know how well Indiana fans gonna travel. So these are all neutral sites.
Yeah, they should just make it home games for these, and then I guess whenever it gets to either the final two or final four, then you can make it, you know, bowl game at a neutral site or whatever.
I can see it. I can see that too happening. So next game after that was that Oregon Texas Tech game. Do y'all think Texas Tech has a chance against Oregon?
I think Oregon's gonna win.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think it's gonna come down to coaching. I think Dan Lanning's gonna have his guys ready. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Texas Tech is, you know, in this game and fighting and competing. I think it should be a good game. I don't think it would be a blowout.
That's the 5-4 matchup. Should be the closest one. Bama, Indiana. Indiana, current number one seed in the country in the Rose Bowl. Does Bama have a chance going against number one team in the country in Indiana?
I'm actually rolling with Bama on this game. I think Bama can pull off the upset, in my opinion. That's going to be my only upset this week. Well, I guess Oregon and Texas Tech, technically, but yeah.
Like I said last year, man, I like a good story, man. Let's go Indiana.
I feel like a better story would have been Bama.
Indiana stays undefeated.
Okay.
Heisman winner advances and knocks off the juggernaut of Alabama.
Yeah, I think the Heisman winner takes that trophy and go on, get his ball and go home. I'm going to go Bama. I'm going to go Bama. I think it's a cute story all the way up until this point. But the clock has struck 12 on Cinderella. And she's turned back into what she is. So, yeah. Let me get Bama.
Kurt said he's a winner. Kurt said he's a winner.
He won. And he won. He won the Big Ten Championship. But that's all he's going to win. Ole Miss, Georgia. Hundo, how them dogs gonna look, man?
Yeah, I don't think the new head coach in Ole Miss is gonna be able to get it done against Kirby Smart.
I agree.
Their season comes to an end and everybody hits the portal.
Oh my gosh. Everybody hits the portal.
It's time to make them announcements.
Yeah.
Hey. That quarterback is going to be like Hundo and have the LSU jersey up under him.
Nasty business, for real. Oh, my God.
Number one.
It's me. I've always been a fan. That's hilarious, though.
And how do y'all feel about the G5 inclusion? What's your stance on that?
You talking about like JMU?
Yeah, and Tulane.
Both of them should have stayed home. I'm not gonna lie, like it's cool because them kids get to get gear, but they already get NIL. So we don't need no more like make a wish teams. Like
yeah.
We need the real teams that's gonna like have a good game to compete in the first round. Like, I'm really sick of that junk. Like it's cute, but like give them their own playoff or something like that. Like they don't need to be with the big dogs this year. And it's clear. They keep getting blown out. Every year they get blown out. So, like, stop including them. They at the kids' table.
They deserve a shot, bro.
No, they don't. No, they don't deserve no shots. They don't do nothing with it. They can't compete. They don't compare. I'm sorry, but I'm serious. Like,
I'm sorry, but I'm serious.
You're not sorry, brother. They sorry.
Huh?
I said, you're not sorry, brother. They sorry.
They are sorry. And that's the part of the thing. Like, yeah, you can go 12-5 against the Old Dominion. I mean, 12-0 against Old Dominion. But, like, when the Big Bad Wolf come and you keep getting beat year after year, it does not matter. I'm going to be honest with you. It does not matter. So, nah, Colin, to your question, keep them boys out. Give them their own playoff. Go play against North Dakota State, and maybe that's something you can win. But you're not winning against Oregon, and it's clear. You're not winning against Ole Miss. It's clear. Like, yeah. So, yeah, no. Keep them out. My personal opinion.
Me personally, I don't mind it, but I think some changes has to happen, whether that's with expansion, as we see, like, from a basketball standpoint. NCAA tournament, you can get a mid-major come in and knock somebody off in the NCAA tournament, right? Now, granted, football and basketball are two different sports. I get it. But I think with more teams, you can definitely get some upsets. But also, I think with the window, with the coaching changes and the transfer portal, I think that hurts as well. You got coaches already making decisions to leave and still trying to coach programs. I mean, bro, you got one foot in, one foot out, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, either don't let them coach across the board or change when they can, you know, accept jobs and interview for new jobs so that everybody's still bought in. I think that plays a bit of a factor, not to say that, you know, they don't have the same number of 5-stars and 4-stars into these bigger programs. But when your coach is gone, bro, I mean, I'm about to hit the portal, bro. I'm not about to be here.
Bingo.
So I'm worried about my future more than this game right here. So I think that something has to change from that perspective as well. In addition to expansion moving forward in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I agree with you, Hundo. I'm just Not sold on it, bro. Like, cause next year they're gonna try to tell me Old Dominion go undefeated and make the doggone CFP. And it's like, it's cool. It's cool. It's a cool story. But like, it nothing comes of it. You're gonna play Alabama and get beat like you should have got beat in the regular season and should just got your check back then. Because now you're not even gonna get a check. Like, what was the purpose? Nothing. Nobody cares. I'm gonna be honest. Like, we really want to see good teams in the playoffs. It's the playoffs.
Okay. So instead of James Madison and Tulane, who do you think should have got in?
Texas. I would have put Texas, Notre Dame. Bama. Like, yeah. All them teams that played against good competition this year.
And y'all think they would have been better games?
Absolutely. Much better. Hands down.
Oregon, Texas, in Eugene? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, bro, if it wouldn't have been for the Bears-Packers, bro, everybody would have been asleep by 9 o'clock Saturday. Like, nobody was watching that game after first drive.
Yeah, I didn't even watch that game.
Yeah, I'm telling you, bro.
And the thing is, we'll never see a Cincinnati and Boise State again because every G5 team that is good this year, all the P4 teams are going to just poach their players. The coaches and the G5 in the playoffs are gone.
Tulane coach that's going to Florida or wherever he's going, he about to take half the team, I'm pretty sure.
Literally.
At least the top players.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll never see it again. So I'm like, John, it's like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Please. Y'all are not the same competitively.
Not at all.
Either make your own playoff
Do you think the NCAA waited too late to try to include these teams? Just like from like a big picture standpoint? Like maybe if they would just try to do it, you know, 5-6 years ago, do you think it would have been different before NIL and transfer portal really got big?
Like Cincinnati was in.
Like if Central Florida would have made it those years when they were complaining about not getting it, do you think they could have did something?
No. No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Like people are living in a land of delusion. When I seen them put up that OB national championship, the only undefeated team in the country, I'm like, shut up. Shut up. No, you're not beating nobody good, bro. And their argument to this day is gonna be, well, we never got an opportunity.
Well, your cousins just got an opportunity, and look what happened.
Right, like all your friends and family just got this opportunity, and they didn't do nothing with it. We know what we're talking about over here in a G4, P4. Like, what? Come on now. Like, yeah, nah. We need big dogs in only. Like, nobody trying to. The ratings. I know ratings are like these networks are pissed. Like Colin said, nobody watched that game at the first drive. I looked at the score like 45-6. I said, second quarter? That's crazy. That's absolutely insane. Nobody's watching that, bro. Besides the parents of the doggone kids on JMU.
So like,
look at my baby on TV for the first time all year.
Like, so what do y'all think a playoff with like those teams would look like though? Like, is it just like a from I'm gonna look at it from a basketball perspective. Like, is it like the NIT tournament in a sense?
Yeah. You get something to show that you made somewhere else, but it's not the big boy table. Mm. But I think with the playoffs expanding, it'll be fine with them to continue to stay in. But if it stays the way that it currently is in this current format, keep them boys out, bro.
I will say this though. I think originally, I didn't see it as a NIT. I just saw it specifically with G5 teams. But I think, honestly, if you had an NIT version of the playoff, like, I would want to see the G5 in that versus the actual playoff. Because I think if, like, Iowa made it in to the NIT playoff, low-key, like, Tulane, Iowa, it'd be a toss-up. We don't know. Like, Davion made a point, like, some of these lower P4 teams – It might not be as sweet. We saw with Clemson this year. They almost lost to Troy. So yeah. I think some years, like, the G5s could upset in that round. But when we talk about top 12, no. I think the only way you should get included is if your team is actually ranked in the top 12 as a G5 program in the college football playoff. Like, so, not.
So if they were to, because I know Tulane had Ole Miss on their regular season schedule, right? So if, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, Tulane had knocked off Ole Miss in the regular season, do you think that they should still not get in, even though they beat a ranked team in the regular season?
Or would your
stance be a little bit different?
A blind squirrel finds a nuts every once in a while.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you, because nobody was saying that about 2 years ago when Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame.
Right.
But Northern Illinois, doggone, like, they weren't good. Like, if Tulane still had the same record and, you know, won their championship, but they're going to beat Ole Miss in the regular season, like, they're legit, you know, top 12 team in the country, more than likely. Because what did they finish in the rankings?
Well, not necessarily, because, like, they could have beat Ole Miss, but they still had losses in the American Conference. So would their rankings have plummeted? Like, you know what I'm saying? They are in because they won their conference championship. But I think in terms of rankings, they weren't, like, a top, like, just 1 to 12 rankings. They were a part of the automatic bid process.
Okay, I get your point. I'm just saying, though, like, if a team finished, you know, 13th in the standings and they went, their only loss was to a ranked team that they played, if they were to beat that ranked opponent and they're undefeated and they're in the top 12, does that change how y'all feel? Even though they're a group of five team?
I mean, my only argument with that, though, is, like, I just don't think you get the benefit of, like, you might play a Miami or a Florida one game a season, right, as the money game. And then you get to go and play ECU, JMU, Troy, and your record might look comparable to these other teams. But when you look at the strength of schedule, a team like Texas, who had to go play Ohio State and is going on the road playing, you know, having to play Vandy, having to play South Carolina, having to play Bama, I don't think that they should be left out over that team that got the opportunity to go play an American Conference schedule, personally.
So do you think the criteria needs to change for how they choose the teams?
Yeah. I think that's been everybody's argument. Because I think the problem now, though, is, like, Texas is no longer incentivized to go play Ohio State week one. We'll never see that again. Because that's just more risky. And I think that as a college football fan, that hurts, because all of us, the whole group, was talking about that week one game and seeing what Arch looked like. Like, right. We'll never see that again.
Yeah.
That's true. Y'all got any predictions on who y'all think gonna win it all, though? College football? Who y'all think look the best right now? Two teams.
Ohio State looks really good. Oregon looks really good. I don't know if they're in the same side of bracket or not, so I can't really say.
Yeah, I don't know.
But those are my two top teams right now.
Shockingly, bro, I'm going to go. Like, I think it's going to be a rematch of the SEC Championship, and I think Georgia wins, personally.
My only concern is that Georgia be starting so slow, bro. They be letting teams hang around early. So I feel like if they start slow against a good team, they would be in trouble. But we're going to see, man. We're going to see.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Anything else that y'all want to discuss here on this episode?
Hey, I'm gonna go through some teams in the NFL. Back to that conversation. We're gonna do some low lights. Y'all just tell me.
You said some low lights.
I'm gonna name the team, and y'all tell me if the coach is gonna return next season.
Okay.
All right. So the Buffalo Bills.
He'll be back.
Hello.
You know how I feel about this. I feel like it depends on how far they get in the playoffs, bro. Like, if they, like y'all talked about, bro, like, this is Josh Allen's opportunity to try to make it out the AFC. If they don't make it out the AFC, especially if they lose early, bro, we got to have a conversation. We got to have a conversation. And the like we talk about across sports, the coach is going to get the blame before more than likely the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they can't make it out the AFC, I think so. If they make it out the AFC and get to the Super Bowl and lose, I think he comes back. But if not, we got to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Because you clearly can't get over the hump.
Yeah. I got him on the Super Bowl, so I think he stays. So, Miami, what do y'all feel? Gone?
Miami out of here. Yeah. Mike, he out of here.
I don't know. We were talking about it before we got on the pod, but my only question is, like, why would you wait until the end of the season to fire somebody, bro? Like, y'all haven't been good all season, bro. Like,
right.
That's why are we prolonging? Huh?
That's the point. They never had a chance. So it's like,
right. So like,
why would you am I going to fire you early for if I never had a chance?
Fire.
That's what I'm saying though. Because you never had a chance, it's one thing if you had a chance,
right,
and you're doing bad, but they never had a chance. So it's like, why am I going to fire you and then bring somebody else in who also never has a chance? That's just a waste.
Yeah, I just don't know why you would wait to the end of the season to fire somebody. So I'm going to say he stays.
Cool. I think he goes. I think it's a total regime change, honestly. Tua included. Mike Vrabel staying. Aaron Glenn with the Jets.
Unfortunately for the black man, he's about it there.
I think he stays, but I think Justin Fields is done.
Yeah, I think he has until Thanksgiving next year. I think he came in knowing that they were going to do a fire sale with the players and do a long-term build. So I'm curious to know what it look like next year. So I think he might have one more year left.
So do you think Justin Fields is the quarterback next year to start the season?
No. I think the fact that they're trying out so many different quarterbacks this year just shows that Justin's not the guy.
Yeah.
All right. Dallas, Schottenheimer.
Jerry about 80 years old. He trying to do something before he leave up out of here. So, yeah, he going to fire Schottenheimer too.
How long has Buddy been there? This is what, second year? Third year?
That's
first year?
Yeah.
I think he stays. They'll give him another year.
Okay, who do y'all think is going to be the Giants quarterback? Coach?
Coach? I don't know who the coach
is. They don't have a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. No clue.
I don't know. I think they're still going to be sorry next year, more than likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, people been saying maybe Marcus Freeman with Notre Dame. Mm.
If he leaves, let me give him a kind of
– You think he'll take a jump? I wouldn't be mad to see it. I just don't know.
But the thing is, though, if the Giant – who has the number one pick?
The Giants and the
The Raiders.
Yeah, because I'm saying, like, you could either go Mendoza or you could trade it back and get more pieces. So I think the Giants have a decent defense, so you can at least, and Neighbors is coming back, so it's not terrible.
Yeah, they got Dart too. They got Dart at quarterback. I don't know why they would want to take a quarterback.
Well, the thing is, the concussion history, though, I don't know if they've known, like, if you have a new coach, that's Jackson Dart was not their original guy. So,
well, yeah, okay. I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, yeah, but
that's true.
I feel like they would bring somebody in that kind of Jackson Dart, you know, like either cosign or like we can work together type deal.
But,
I could see if they drafted a quarterback in like the third or fourth round, it's like, oh, we don't know if he's gonna be the guy. They moved up to get him, later in the first round, they moved up to get him. So, clearly, somebody wanted him.
That's true.
All right, Philadelphia.
Nick will be there.
Yeah, I think he stays.
Okay, Dan Quinn, the Commander, stays.
He'll be there.
I think he stays. They had a lot of injuries this year.
Yeah, he'll be there.
They still got Baltimore.
My heart and my mind
My mind is telling me no.
Let me stop.
That's insane. We do not endorse.
Let me stop. Y'all about to cancel me.
Let's see, man. My heart is telling me John's time is up. I would like to see somebody new get opportunity. But my mind is being realistic and saying that we're not going to get rid of John. So,
Hondo,
if they don't make the playoffs, I'm gonna say Harbaugh is gone.
Yeah, I think it finally happens. Like, but that's the only holdup is I don't know what candidate they go and get.
Yeah, that's what's the holdup.
Yeah, that's I think they might can go get Justin Winter, but I don't know what Baltimore's plan is. Because I feel like the Ravens want to at least hire somebody they're familiar with, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Or with some kind of Raven connection. Cincinnati.
He needs to go, but I don't think he will.
Yeah, I think similar to Miami, it's like, why would you wait to fire your coach at the end of the season once again? So,
mm-hmm.
I think he stays.
Cleveland.
I think he needs to go. They need a whole rebuild. They plotting on that man Shador so bad, bro. Somebody got to go.
That's fair. The Steelers or Mike Tomlin?
I think it depends on what happens in the postseason, like we talked about before. I don't think they're going to get blown out in the playoffs, but if they – you know, make the playoffs and either mess around and win a game or, you know, compete in that game, I think he stays.
Yeah, I think if they get blown out or, like, even a two-touchdown loss in the first round of the playoff, I personally think Mike would step down because, like, at sometimes just run his course. And it's just like, what are we doing? We can't run it back. I don't want to run it back with Aaron. I don't know what quarterback is out there. And I don't want – personally, like, I don't want Mike to risk that getting a losing season. So it's like, go out a winner.
Yeah, I think like similar, like what we were talking about at the end of the season last year. It's like, who's going to be their quarterback going into next season? So it's like, you're pretty much in the same boat. So, I mean,
yeah,
I could see what you're saying, but I don't think he would do that. I don't think he would step down in that situation.
Yeah.
I get it. I would get it if he did. But I don't see that happening.
I don't think Mike's stepping down, and I don't think they're firing Mike, regardless of what happens. Playoffs, no playoffs, they're not firing Mike.
Okay. NFC North, I don't see any of these coaches getting fired. I guess Minnesota, do y'all think he's coming back?
Who was the coach at McDaniel? I mean, McDonald? McConnell?
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
Okay, LaFleur?
LaFleur will be back.
He'll be back.
Okay, yeah, and I think Campbell and Ben Johnson stay. So I think D'Amico at Houston stays,
right? Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I think we keep taking. I think Jags keep their coach. Texas Titans need a coach, so I don't know who that'll be.
Yeah.
I think Raheem Morris with Atlanta is gone.
I think he'll get one more season.
Yeah, I think he might stay around. Once again, like I said, similar to the Bengals and Dolphins, like, y'all have been bad all season. Why would you wait to the end of the season fires, man? Mm-hmm. Might as well keep him.
Okay. I think Canales stays with the Panthers. Kellen Moore stays.
Yeah, they'll give him another year.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay?
If they miss the playoffs, it'll be a conversation, but I think he stays.
He'll stay.
It'll be some whispers going around, but I think I think he stays.
Okay. Sean Payton.
Yeah, he stays, bro. I feel like the only way he leaves is like if he retires.
Yeah.
Like I can see him retiring before we fire him. Like, we've over exceeded expectations, bro.
Andy Reid is the coach next year. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like he would have to, same boat. He would probably have to retire.
Facts. Sure. He'll not get rid of Andy.
Pete Carroll.
He needs to go.
I do agree. I think he's gone. Chargers. I mean, I think Harbaugh's staying for life.
I don't know about for life, but.
Well, I mean, like in the near future, at least. The Cardinals.
He needs to go. And they need to figure out what they're going to do with Kyler.
Yeah, I think he's gone too. But it's not really his fault.
How long has he been there? How long has that coach been there?
Yeah, he's been there 2 years.
So this is his second year?
Yeah, I think it's second.
Yeah, either they need to move on from Kyler or he need to go. One of the two.
And I guess nobody from the Rams, 49ers, and Seahawks, right?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, shout out to the 49ers, though, bro, because, like, it wasn't looking too good for them. And them boys up there, bro. They back in the conversation for real. So, shout out to them.
Who's coach of the year?
I think it's either me personally. I'm either taking Sean Payton or Ben Johnson, one of those two.
Yeah, I think it's going to be either Ben Johnson or Mike McDonald.
I'm going to say Ben Johnson.
Okay. MVP?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Nobody really impressed me this year. I'm going to keep it banned.
I would say Stafford, but like I said, bro, they just keep finding ways to lose games. Now, granted, it's not all about wins and losses, but I'll probably go after.
What about Drake May? Are you giving him votes?
No, I'm not voting for him. I'll vote for Bo Nix before I vote for Drake May. That says a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. But
you gotta scroll for that one.
Yeah, that's hate.
Yeah, that's how much I don't believe in him.
I'm gonna say
not a Drake May believer.
I'm gonna say Stafford. If I had to pick somebody,
rookie of the year, well, offensive and defensive.
Genty, I think Genty should be up there for offensive. I don't know about defensive. Couldn't tell you, but I feel like Genty's been having a pretty decent year. Unless I'm missing somebody.
I'm gonna say offensive Emeka Buka, and defensive I'm gonna go Carson Schwechter, who is a linebacker from the Browns. Both of them had crazy seasons, respectively.
I'm gonna look at the favorites.
Yeah, do that because I don't know, bro. You too deep in the woods, weeds for me.
The favorites right now is McMillan from Panthers.
Dang, he been having that good of a season?
And Emeka Buka and Tyler Shook.
Jensen not even top three. Sheesh.
Yeah, I was going to say Tyler Warren, but he's been okay, like, compared to the other guys. Oh, what about the running back from the Patriots? From Ohio State.
Travion?
Yeah.
He was cool a couple weeks ago. He's not MVP. He's not rookie of the year.
No.
Mm-hmm. Offensive rookie of the year. No, not there. So, yeah, man. A lot of good stuff happening in the league. A lot of good stuff happening in the league. These last 2 weeks are crucial. Crucial. So, we'll be back next week after this weekend concludes to tell you what happens and give our opinions, man. Appreciate y'all tapping into the Blend Shot Podcast. Happy holidays once again. Merry Christmas to all. And it'll be New Year's by the time we come back. No, it won't be New Year's just yet. So happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all to all of those who celebrate, which, you know, perfect. Even if you don't celebrate, you know, enjoy the day off. God bless. May you all have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. And we look forward to seeing y'all at the next appointed time. Appreciate y'all. Peace.
Peace.